I'm calling you from Portland, Oregon.
Okay, Gordon.
Oregon!
Live from Portland, Oregon, it's Sarcastic Voyage, episode 75, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, Amanda Smith, and your host, David Fields.
Wait, what?
Hey!
What?
We went through this host thing 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, come on.
You're not the host.
What do you mean I'm not the host?
You remember how you fucked up the show?
No, yeah, I remember.
What do we do? Five minutes?
I remember you said if I thought I could do it better, then I should host the show.
And
I
said, we're going to do the show this way this week, and it's going to be so much better. And it wasn't.
It was.
It wasn't.
That's a pretty good day.
I know, right? Wait a minute. Didn't he come on complaining about the show being exactly the same every single time? And here he's back 2 weeks later as a guest?
That's a good point, too. Yeah, we have basically the same lineup as we had 2 weeks ago. So
with the cheese here, it's different.
She's just here, though.
Yeah, I'm really not part of the show. I'm just in this room.
I have no agenda.
I'm just bringing a little estrogen to the occasion.
You're like that.
Matt's job.
You're like that munchkin who was hanging himself in the back of that Wizard of Oz scene. You're just there for scenery.
And you know, like
you're
Smurfette.
An urban myth. Oh yes, you're like Smurfette.
Smurfette, yeah.
Right. There's 99 of us and one of you.
Yeah.
Hey, I hear in Sarcastic Voyage episode 75, you can hear Amanda. No, that's not true.
There on the podcast was a hook.
But if I'm out in public, yeah, everyone can basically hear me anyway with my loud Wagnerian voice.
Yeah, you know, we're here in Portland, Oregon, which great road trip, by the way. We're having a really good time here. And we're in...
Road trip for you. A Tom death drive for me.
Hey, you volunteered for this.
78 hours later, I'm still driving.
God.
I must have been drunk when I agreed to
that. You usually are. But we're in Powell's Bookstore a few hours ago, which is apparently the biggest independent bookstore in the world. Fantastic. It was a whole city block. I
mean, you could barely smell the urine.
And that was, you know, just after Al got there.
Heaven compared to your bookstore.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, your bookstore's a crap hole compared to this place.
We got in there and I'm like, you know what I don't see? A long line of homeless people trying to sell sodden boxes of urine soap books.
Oh, there's a department for that.
I wonder what we're doing wrong.
They have color-coded departments. They're just off in orange, and we never got there. No, but we're there, and we're standing in some section, and Amanda's just going, Chuck Palahniuk is a hack. All his books are terrible. About that loud. He's a local author. Everyone here loves him, and he may very well have been in the store doing a signing. She doesn't care.
Good. I want him to know my opinion.
Your books are awful.
You will.
Well,
that's not even the third or fourth to worst thing I said.
No, I'm not going to mention all the racist things you said.
But the twist there was that he was standing right behind you.
Good.
With his hook.
Your narrators all sound the same.
But we're here actually for a special occasion. Self-congratulatory, because we don't know any other kind of celebration.
There's no back padding like self-back padding.
Exactly. So good job, gang. No, this is our 1 year anniversary. And we didn't really plan it this way, it just kind of came together, and it is great to have you guys here in the same room recording a show for the first time.
Yep.
Which is strange after 75 of these. But,
I wish we picked up one of those noisemaker things.
Yeah, that's basically
call?
The same
I'm thing, glad right? We picked up a duck call, though.
Get that duck out of here. We are having a great time, though. We're checking out Portland, which we've never done before.
Fabulous Portland.
We saw Star Trek in the park earlier, which was quite an experience.
Yeah.
Saw the classic episode Space Seed acted out by, I guess, a local theater troupe or something in short skirts, which was nice.
Yeah, it was. And MacGyver, or Lieutenant MacGyver, wherever you are, call us.
Yeah.
Please.
We'll bring you on the show in a second. We'll cancel who's ever on that week, especially if it's Flonk.
We'll cancel Al that week.
Yeah, hey, fine with me.
I'll just sit back here and watch.
That wouldn't even be a show. It would just be you guys sitting quietly.
Staring.
Yeah.
It would be a video podcast.
So are you going to ask me any questions or what?
Nope.
Just occasional nervous laughter coming from
her. Coming out of your eyes, clasping your hands together, batting your eyelashes.
Every once in a while, we accidentally drop something.
Could you get that for? Oh, sure.
Yeoman, could you get that? Well, it's Lieutenant. Ah, same difference.
Could you sign this for me?
Sign for this UPS package, please. But, you know, and really, I don't want to go on and on about this, but we have done a year, and, you know, it's cool. It's really cool. Yeah. I did not expect...
5 episodes.
No, I figured we'd stick with it, because, you know, that is my one talent. That's the only thing I'll cop to being good at, is... getting things done consistently and on time. But I didn't think we'd have the following we'd have. I didn't think we'd make shows that I was actually not ashamed of. A couple of weeks ago, I was editing, and I won't say which show because the ego of that particular person would inflate and force us all out of this room. But a recent show
It's me.
Yes. It would inflate further than it has already.
Well, how are you guys still in the room then? My ego needs to inflate more.
Your ego is a metaphor.
I have an ego.
Unfortunately, you're the one nearest the door, and your ego has blocked our exits.
So you're fire hazard.
You guys just stay over in the corner there, and I'll run this podcast.
Yes, ma'am. Oh. Actually, we're doing this from the shower.
You think you can host a podcast better than us? Well, fine.
Yes. Yes, I do.
You're listening to The Amanda Voyage, starring Amanda. All about hats. Today I'll be talking to a hat.
See, there you go.
Oh, can you just get a job, really?
No.
Just get one, please.
Your country still won't let me have a job.
This week my hat and I play World of Warcraft.
Now, she's not English now. Let's not enter her in the contest. Philip. Which, by the way, the contest is over, and we'll be reviewing your entry soon. Thank you for that. Come on,
I think we're the ones who lost.
The audience are the real losers.
Just as they have been from day one.
Come on, I was being, you know, appreciative here. Let me for once not call them dicks and say thanks for listening.
Yes.
Seriously. We got a lot more people listening than I expected. We've done shows that, we're pretty happy with. And
got to talk to people we
never
thought we'd fucking get the chance to talk to.
Yeah, and we got even better stuff lined up for the coming year. So, thanks for that. And that's quite enough of that, thank you. So,
and now back to your regular assholery.
Right, exactly. Speaking of contests, no one got their copybook in on time, so zero credit there.
Yeah, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah, we went on and on about this.
We give and we give and we give. And we ask for one thing that week.
And you can't bother to do that. So
all of you fail.
You lose. You stole fizzy lifting drinks.
You walked on the ceiling, which now has to be washed.
You danced on the ceiling, which Lionel Richie now has to sterilize. Oh, Lord. Yeah, usually I have notes in front of me. I have exhaustive things that I've assembled through the week for us to talk about, and I got nothing. We're flying blind here. So
blind, solo.
Yes, and it's all we can do not to just lapse into Nick and Willigans for the next hour. We cannot do
that. Almost painful.
An hour.
You don't understand. They have not gone an hour without lapsing into Nick and Willigans. They haven't gone 5 minutes.
Nope. I was in the car with them for like
it's a 3-hour drive from Seattle to Portland. And
it was basically just Nick and Willigans.
Oh, we have a new character, but we're not going to share that just yet. We need to polish that off and fine-tune it and maybe find a joke in there somewhere.
Just, if you can picture hour 2.5, on the road again, going places that I've never been.
We are still on the road. Yes, it has been a living hell.
And it's we still got more hell to go, so fan-fucking-tastic. As always, when Dave and I travel together, and it seems to be just Dave and I, it never happens when we're by ourselves or when we're with other people, but Dave and I affect compasses, we affect navigational equipment, GPS.
We warp the very fabric of space-time.
Yeah, and the result is lots and lots of circles. This is a thing we've documented well over the years, but I don't know that the show has ever quite heard this before.
We started at the border of Portland and very slowly made concentric circles closer and closer to the center of town.
Death spiral, if you will.
Yes.
If you were watching us, actually, Dave had GPS on his phone, and I was tracking him coming up the coast on Google Latitude, or as I call it, Google Stalk. If you were to actually watch us do that on Google Maps, you would see a rapidly increasing concentric circle, and you would be hypnotized watching us drive. And if you're watching that right now, cluck like a chicken. That's the code word.
But you never could go left. It was always...
I always had to keep going right.
Go left.
I was trying to break the cycle, and they would not let me.
Keep turning.
It's a series of one-way streets that just don't ever let
you.
Now
turn left.
Now, if you could, you could basically chart our progress left with a spirograph.
It's half Indiana Jones, half spirograph.
I'm sure it made a very pretty picture on the map. That all started lo those many moons ago when we met and you were still living in Maryland.
Yeah. Thanksgiving 1996. You came out for we meet up at these conventions, and that happens with my the other people that I've made friends with successively, but it's for a Star Trek convention. We're meeting a bunch of online friends.
because we met online because we're nerds.
Of course.
And
no one,
love.
No one I've met since 1993.
That's right here.
There's enough love in the world, isn't there?
But, I mean, the joke originally was he was the East Coast me and I was the West Coast him and whatnot. Yeah. And when we finally, you know, got together.
Matter and antimatter.
Yeah, it was
pasta and antipasta. Just bad news.
Yeah, it was sort of like, you know, each coast was its own separate universe.
Right.
And they were, you know, they butted up against each other. And there was a you know, like a boundary. We decided the boundary was somewhere over Texas, causing all kinds of aberrant behavior coming from that region. But
goats born with two heads.
Mostly psychotic women. But let's move on.
Many, many. Anyway.
I wish Dave would move on, but he doesn't seem to have a lot of luck with that.
That's a whole other show. We got a lot of stuff planned for year two, and
oh boy,
the many loves of that. We're gonna set up a reality show to get Dave a date. And,
Dave, do you remember
episode 76? What the fuck is wrong with this?
It could be the Valentine's
part
show
one
this
of
year.
10.
Yeah.
Dave, do you remember this voice?
Hey, I think I dated her too. But yeah, he flew out here. I picked him up at Washington's lovely. Baltimore, I can't say the words lovely in Baltimore together. I'm sorry. I tried, and I can't get it out. But
historic Baltimore.
I picked him up in Baltimore, and we drove up to...
Rusty Baltimore.
Yes. Like a rusty knife cutting you an old piece of pie.
Like a low-rent major city rubbed in dirt.
It's like you take a real city, and then you dip it in crap, and that's Baltimore. But I digress.
We love you, Baltimore. No,
speak for yourself.
Sorry, Fort Worth.
But no, he flew out, and this con, as it was, they couldn't get New York, but what they got was where the New York Giants played just outside New York in the Meadowlands in New Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah, and you know, everyone's made Jersey jokes, whatever, and I'm not keen on repeating everyone's jokes, but you know, we went through something there.
Look, Jersey earned its reputation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, there was the smell.
Yeah.
There was
the circling and the goddamn expressway.
Yeah. And Dave, being on the West Coast, was not familiar with the toll system out that way. And so we tended to get lost. There were a lot of circles. And every time we got back off the New Jersey Turnpike, we'd have to get on and we'd pay another toll.
Oh, fuck.
So in the course of 2 or 3 hours, he saw me whip out 20, 30 bucks. And he's just, do you have to pay to go everywhere here? I tried to explain to him, no, we're just lost.
Yeah, I, for a while there, I had the theory that these troll booths,
yes.
Yeah, the
phantom toll booths.
Damn troll booths. But they existed solely to raise money to put in more toll booths.
Well, to go through, you have to answer them these questions three.
We answered so many questions three.
I figured there'd be three of them.
What is your favorite color? Sure, we've gone over this.
But yeah, I mean, the Jersey jokes are kind of hacky, but I'm sticking with them because...
No, we went through
hacky
something.
And
yeah.
By God, they earned it.
Yeah, they most certainly did that. And between that and producing Flonk...
Yeah. Unforgivable.
Jersey's sins are unimaginable.
Yeah. But that was the trip. We did go. We ended up meeting quite a few good, great friends of ours and drove back. Took us, I don't know, 17, 18 years to get back down the turnpike. Should have been a 3-hour drive.
That was still happening, right? That was happening today?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually...
Me and
yeah.
Matt just joined the trip. It's the same trip.
It's a trip
we're still,
of the damned.
Yeah. No, I had actually... My dad was kind enough to let me borrow his... it's like a 91 black Corvette, which looked a lot like the Batmobile.
Oh.
And
it was a nice car.
It was nice. Not a nice car for long trips. Yeah. It had that lumbar support, which basically just meant you sat with your spine in like an S shape. Which is great, again, for short trip.
Support is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be comfy, like give you a nice little massage when you're driving to the office, but not, you know, down the coast. But we got back to my place in Maryland, and then I took him to the airport the next day. I had the Danny Elfman Batman soundtrack on. I'm in my dad's car, the Batmobile. Roads are wet. I turn to Dave, I say, hang on. I stomp the gas. The thing fishtails around 3 or 4 times, smacks into the curb. It's
by fishtail, he means spun.
Yeah. We did a couple of 360s. It was nasty business.
That car was worth more than you, right?
Oh, easily. Certainly worth more sentimentally to my dad.
Yeah.
Than, you know, the money's the money.
I can replace you, boy.
Yeah.
he's got a spare.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was nice. And then you had to pay, what, $100 for a cab ride to...
I don't to the remember. Airport. I was just amazed I got there on time.
That was $1996. That was a lot of money back then. I, of course, had to call my dad and say, I wrecked your Corvette.
Oh.
Good times.
Maybe you should have just run.
Like, that was about an hour from home.
And they never saw him again.
We were carjacked in New Jersey. Well, that makes sense.
Oh, well, all right then. But that's
destroyed
just,
your stanza.
That's just one example of many of what happens. I mean, we've known each other for 15 years. We end up hooking up together every couple of years, on average.
Mm. Yeah, this has been a heavy year. This is like the third time.
Yeah, but then, you know, when I moved to Seattle, I didn't have any money, and I didn't see you for a while, and, you know, but we it's all evened out. But and these guys have now seen firsthand the effect that we have on...
for example, when we were at, when we went to Powell's, they have their own parking structure.
Oh, God.
This place is so big.
Oh, well, this place. No. That's a whole other story.
Parking structure, I put in quotes. It was an M.C. Escher parking structure.
It was a little kingdom run by these two guys, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, God. Oh, those two guys. Jesus Christ. But, you know, we park, and kind of in the center, there's... What the hell was that? It wasn't a...
A box.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't like a stairwell. It was...
Oh, the thing those like guys sat in? Like,
minaret. No, we were on the top.
In the center of the... There's that floor in the middle. Thing.
Oh, right, right.
Yellow,
like a pillar. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might. There might have been an elevator in there.
Yeah. It looked like might have been an elevator. Anyway, from the car to the door leading out of the parking structure,
it was a straight line.
Yeah.
But it was 10 feet.
Yeah.
Yep.
10-15 feet between the car and there. But no, we had to circle around.
Yep.
Whatever the hell that was in the center of the parking structure.
Basically, if you remember those family circus strips where Billy walks home from school, that's what it's like when Dave and I go anywhere.
And the stairwell was in a tight, tight circle going down.
Actually, the car ramp was in a tight circle that only one car could fit through, and there were tight, blind corners.
Oh, yeah.
There was a sign on the wall that said, honk your horn and pray. And you basically had to pray that no other car was coming the other way and honk. And I was at a loss because we're all atheists or some degree of agnostic or whatever, and we don't know what to pray to. So, like, oh, fuck, Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
Something. Anything.
Please continue
Praise
to
Richard
ignore
Dawkins.
Us.
Please do me a solid.
The problem is anything that would come immediately to all of our minds would be like chaos bringers, and that would just make it worse.
Oh, Cthulhu, once again, in your glory, please do not look upon us during our endeavor. Turn your many eyes elsewhere and spare us the sharpness of thy beak. Amen.
Amen.
And then, so the deal is if you buy a book in this store, you get free parking.
Free parking
for a first hour. Okay.
First hour free.
There's a dude who doesn't speak English and a dude he's training that speaks perfect English.
But it's his first day.
Yeah.
And one of them always lies and one of them always tells the truth.
That's exactly what
but
we
he
have.
He tells the truth in Chinese.
Yes.
They didn't understand that we wanted to get in and then they didn't understand that we wanted to get out. It was,
and then they didn't understand that we wanted to go back to the car.
I just want to go to my car and put the books in, and we want to go walking some more.
What? We'll charge you more for that.
Probably a good 5 minutes waiting for them to acknowledge that we were there.
Yeah.
Waiting to get in, because there's a barrier saying, you know, you can't go in.
And then give them your keys.
Yeah, you have to give them the keys to your car.
And your social insurance number.
But it's not like Social Security. Well. Welcome to America.
Insurance.
But, no, they take your keys, which is, okay, good, valet, fine. No, they just want your keys.
No, we just like to have them.
I don't think they drive, I don't think they leave that booth.
I just picture the one guy on a bed made of keys just rolling around in it, tossing keys in the air.
The whole reason he set up the bookshop parking is to fulfill his fetish.
Yes.
Just like the reason Quentin Tarantino started a movie career, mm-hmm. and the reason that guy made the Human Centipede.
Ah, yes.
You know, that's why you do the things that you do. Also,
explain the room.
Yeah, exactly. Also, the...
I was making a legitimate comedy.
But pictures of spoons.
The payment structure for the parking was just as much of a labyrinth as the parking structure itself.
Reading the description of the payment structure is like listening to Matt describe a fight. Okay,
first
hour.
$1, then you pay $2.
Then you pay $1
again. $4.
Then it's free if you buy a book, but then it's $3 again.
Then he punched you 4 times.
So yeah, this sounds really boring, and we apologize, but this is what we find amusing on this trip. We stop by one of the local breweries. Dave likes to sample the local beer.
Rogue Brewery.
Yeah, Are they worthy of a plug? Do you want to throw a link in the web?
There was that coffee beer.
The double mocha porter.
Well, you did get two of those. That's a good sign when you had another 17 beers to choose from and you went with the same thing twice.
I just love that, you know, they sit us down at the table, they bring us the menus and a beer list. The menus were, you know, a sheet of paper printed on one side.
Yeah, a photocopied flyer, one side.
And it was sort of wet and crumpled, and they just sort of kind of an afterthought. They tossed it on the table with disdain.
Now here's this if you want, whatever.
And then they hand him a volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
The beer list was, it was a book.
Volume one.
Gilded pages.
It was actually chained to the table. If you're a Discworld fan, you understand what that means. The book could actually harm other books.
He opened it and like a heavenly light just sort of streamed out of it.
A golden amber light. So yeah, he seemed to quite enjoy that. And we were actually joined by our old friend Pat McDonnell.
Poodle douche.
Okay. Now we were supposed to say who. After all this time, after a year, you still don't. God damn it. You actually remember him now?
Yes.
Well, there's no need to call him Poodle Douche anymore.
It's a good nickname, though.
Because he went to go get another. He was on his way. He stopped on the way.
That's right. He was. He's going back to Ireland for a bit, and he's got to leave his poodle with someone, and he had to go pick up more fancy pants.
Yeah. See, he's bought more Poodle Douches than anyone I know, so the nickname is still valid.
We were really just a pit stop on the way to the fancy pants.
This right. is not the first time we've been a pit stop on the way to someone buying douche.
Mind you, there was someone who didn't even think.
We'll get to that in a minute. Listen. Let's talk about the high points first.
Most people do feel the need to cleanse after being around us.
Well, the thing is, it's been a nice sort of recap of the last year. Mm. I mean, you know, we're all hanging out and we saw a previous guest and we're going to try to hook up with another one.
Huh.
All right.
But something mysterious, I'm sure they're, you know...
Yeah, well, here's what happened. We are, Matt and I are fairly well acquainted with the hosts of another podcast, Chuck vs. Mel.
Beardless Mel. Or Beardless Mel. Definitely Beardless Mel. Beardless.
We can't confirm the beardlessness of
no,
Mel.
No, today that was part of our mission.
Because we didn't see her.
Right. No, but I think of them as sort of a, you know, a similar thing, as sort of a, like a sister podcast, that kind of thing.
No.
And that we've had them on our show before. They were delightful. Mm-hmm. And we talk to them on Twitter all the time. And I figured, hey, we're going to Oregon. Like, this isn't the reason we were going. We're going to Portland. She lives nearby. Let's say hi. She had plans, but she's like, ooh, I'm excited to see you guys. If you can get there early. And I made a big deal out of getting... Matt and Amanda both aren't big get out of bed early people.
No.
So I made a point to plan everything so we could get here extra early, you know, and get drag them up and get going. Last night at 11 o'clock.
We'd gone to bed.
Yes.
Because we had to get up early then.
I had a DM from Mal saying, it turns out I can't make it after all. I don't want to risk it. I don't have the time for you guys.
We're hurt. We're not mad.
No, we're more than hurt. We're
just hurt.
Depressed. Devastated. Sad. Yeah.
I wept a little when Al told me about it.
That'll be in the show notes.
Oh, there's a photo album of pictures.
I myself cried for well over 2 hours.
He did.
The entire trip to Portland.
Yeah. It was inconsolable. And between sobs, he did Nick and Willick voices.
Oh, delay! I'm terrible, isn't it? I'm not any happy at all, Willickins. Oh, Master Nick, don't worry about it.
There, sir.
Did you just touch my back? Listen, I'm not very good with this, not very good with this comforting thing, am I?
Also, I don't like you.
But yeah, we are profoundly disappointed. We really hoped, like I said, this is an anniversary trip. We were trying to meet people associated with the show, people we know, people, you know.
Yeah, this was a big deal. I drove all the way from San Diego just to see her.
Over 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I don't think we've properly addressed that.
My 900-minute journey.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, dude.
I looked on your directions on Google Maps, and it's... Gave directions for you to get from your house to the I-5. Merge onto I-5. Drive 1,044 miles. Then take exit, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Sounds so simple when they say it like that.
This is how we sold it to Dave.
Yeah.
I was talking to him. We just happened to be talking about...
First you asked him, Dave, how many drinks have you had?
No, I didn't, actually.
To make sure that he would be in a receptive frame of mind.
He didn't ask, he just assumed.
I looked at the clock, it was after he got off work, so I just figured, okay.
Well, he must be drunk.
He's not getting ready to go to work, he's just gotten off work. So, we're good. I mean, you're responsible, you don't drink right before you head to the Felt Mines. You're,
usually.
You know. Usually, sure. On the nights you don't go in shooting. We'll get to that.
No, you fuck one goat.
But no, seriously, we were talking. Oh, we were prepping for his appearance a couple of weeks ago, and I said, by the way, Matt's been talking about coming out of Seattle, you know, because Amanda can't go back to Canada. We want to hang out, and I saw this Trek in the Park thing. Let's head to Portland. And I said, hey, Dave, jokingly, it's halfway, right? I mean, we're going one state down. You can come one state up. Ha ha ha! Expecting him to laugh or roll his eyes or something, and he's like, well, actually, I got some time off coming up. Let me check this out.
Everything you said seems incredibly logical to me.
It all hangs together.
And by the time we got together to record the show that Saturday, everything was set, and he was coming. And what the fuck, dude?
How did this happen?
It's not even the first time he's done this. New Year's Eve, 1999 into 2000, he actually flew out to Maryland. Once again to Baltimore, oddly enough, to hang out with a mutual friend, with pretty much everybody in the world that we knew at that point, like that we were mutually friends with, and you know, ring in one of the best New Years of our lives.
Ringing in the new.
He was there for what, 12 hours, 14 hours,
something like that.
Yeah, and then he got back on a plane and went back home and went to work.
And it was a last minute decision too.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those. Well, there's no way I'm going to be able to afford it. Oh my God,
there's a special. Wow. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, because usually, you know, you buy a ticket last minute. It's, you know,
yeah,
we'll take $2,000 and one of your kidneys.
Yep. And you know, you'd already given one up for the Vegas trip earlier that year.
So, yeah, need the other one.
I need one, by God.
Yeah, absolutely. You have two kidneys, right?
I did.
I started with six, but listen.
Yeah, that's what I thought. As many as the Houses of Parliament in England.
Look, you see these scars here. I woke up in a bathtub full of ice one day,
and a note that said "No Mal."
That'll make more sense once they see the
That'll probably be our cover art.
Mal, P.S., despite what my writing might look like, I really do mean you no harm.
I don't know that we can speak to
creepy
that.
Serial killer scrawl.
Oh. Yeah. When I look at my grocery list, I often dread coming home for hanging on a meat hook or something like that.
Your handwriting looks like the journal from Seven.
It's like Rorschach's journal. I'm reading, and it's like we need oatmeal and cheese, and I don't know how she can write those things that it comes off as a threat. But I fear for my life buying honey, tea, milk.
Dead dog in alleyway this morning. Tire treads on first stomach. I have a hat.
He does have a hat.
Eggs, and milk, mask. Duct tape.
Egg.
Egg. Oh, Christ. So there's that.
Times.
We saw, like I said, we saw the Trek in the Park. We went to the bookstore. What else?
We saw a baby being abused.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that was
the highlight of my day. We were at Rogues, and I was staring out the window, and I was starting to get irritated because I saw all these people holding hands, which filled me with disgust.
Yeah, there's nothing we hate.
It's been a theme for this trip. It's like, apparently everybody in the city holds hands as they walk down the street.
Yeah, so city of love.
My bile was rising higher and higher. And then
my child bride, ladies and gentlemen.
Bile.
Oh my God, those are people who enjoy each other's company. They just die.
Lifting me higher.
So I'm looking outside getting mad, and I've got all these pictures that I assume I'll put into a creepy serial killer montage.
Scratch out their eyes.
Yeah. People holding hands. And then I see a family walking merrily down the street. This fills me with more disgust. But fortunately, the father was about 8 or 12 feet tall, and he had his baby on his back in like a little backpack for human children. And he was walking down the street, and the kid's head whacked right into the branch of a tree. None of them noticed. The baby just started crying.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Just sent a chill through my bones.
I'm spending the rest of my life with this woman. Sorry, boys.
Yeah, how long is that going to be?
Well, based on my last grocery list, maybe a week.
I think it'd be fun to watch your head repeatedly smack into a tree.
I also like whenever she refers to a baby, even though she knows what the sex is, she'll say it. Oh, can I see it? Oh, no, that's not a sentence she would say.
No.
Oh, well,
take it away.
How old is it? Which mothers always love to hear their babies referred to as
how
it,
old is your pupa?
Well, you know, to be fair, though, I mean, it hit the kid's soft spot and it popped right back out. The kid was fine.
Oh, yeah, those things are versatile. It's fine. as far as we all know.
You can wash them in the washing machine.
Sure.
Yeah. They like that, right? Yeah. That's what you do with those.
It's like a ride.
Just don't put them in with a red towel.
Come on.
Oh, Christ. What else? Matt, you've been listening to me and Dave reminisce. I feel like maybe you should say something. No,
well,
I don't,
this
actually.
One time, me and Matt...
Oh, shut up, you. You just said you weren't part of the show, and now you're, like, taking over the show.
We're starting
this is the
our
time
own
you
show.
Went to the store.
One time we were at the store playing Rock Band, and we decided it would be a jaunty good time.
Hey, Dave, remember Disneyland?
Yes, I do. It was a magical trip.
Oh, we were going to discuss that lovely Kevin Smith Batman comic, weren't we?
Oh, God. I read this on the way over. You probably, once again, stealing Comic Alliance's whole deal. You
actually,
have...
I read it in that guy.
Topless Robot Guy?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Do you read any other blogs besides the Topless Robot Guy?
I do, but really the only things I find newsworthy for the show happen to be from him. Mm-hmm. So,
he nails a lot of geek news.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff that merits further discussion. Yeah. I mean, I give him full credit whenever I can because I don't want to say I discovered this. Mm-hmm. But I think we, at least discussing it, adds something new to it.
So, show sponsors, Comic Alliance and Topless Robot. Cough, cough. So basically, Kevin Smith's been writing Batman comics for a while now.
Isn't it just a miniseries?
It's a miniseries. He did a 3-issue miniseries last year, and then he's done another 6-issue miniseries. And it has been fair to...
Middling?
Middling. Yeah, let's go with that. I mean, a lot of it's not bad, but it's not good. And the art is iffy. But I had been continuing to buy it because I like Kevin Smith.
Noted fat load, Kevin Smith.
Every time you guys talk about the Kevin Smith Batman comics, I swear to God, I'm picturing Batman and Robin driving down the street in the Batmobile, and Batman is going, "Hey, let me get a flying car." What would you do for the flying car, Robin? Oh, nothing we haven't already done, Batman.
Old chum.
Holy elevated automobile, Batman. Anyway, so it's been, you know, adequate for the last 5 issues.
And honestly, an adequate Batman comic to you is good enough.
That's fine.
If you see Batman swinging around and doing bat things, then you're cool.
I'm a pretty easy sell. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things that will throw me off.
There's a few red flags, a few things that you probably don't care for.
You know, poor writing is one. It's why I wasn't a big fan of All-Star Batman.
Excuse me, All-Star Batman and
All-Star
Robin the
Batman
Boy Wonder.
All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder.
Right, which is... still not finished, am
no.
I correct?
Okay. That thing is like 6 years late. Mm-hmm. Still coming, though.
Year one, 6 year late.
Yep.
Less late than Planetary still, isn't it?
Well, Planetary finished.
Yeah, but wasn't there a longer gap between...
I was happily married when issue 25 came
that's
out.
True.
And I was married to the second one when 26 came out, so yeah.
That doesn't really give you an estimate of time, though. It's just you.
No, but it took a long time. Well, that's true. That could have happened.
Long enough to, you know, dispose of one body, have her declared dead, and, you know, move on.
Well, that's what happened. I took care of that.
Anyway, bad writing is one. Another one is if Batman decides to pee his pants.
Hmm.
Which happened.
Not only this, though. We need to be perfectly clear.
It's not even bad enough that Batman peed his own pants.
That
Batman peed his own pants. Apparently, Batman peed his pants during a scene from Frank Miller's classic Year One.
One of the iconic, like, quintessential Batman stories. Like, he really took the origin and made it, you know, like, his and said, this is what it would have been like when Batman first started out. I think they took not maybe specific story elements, but definitely the vibe of it for the films, like for the Christopher Nolan films.
Yeah.
Year One was a big influence on current thinking on Batman. Batman did not piss himself at any point.
Nope.
But now apparently he has.
So stay tuned for Dark Knight 2. Batman pees himself.
And at the Powell bookstore, we were looking at some of the graphic novels, and there's an issue you were looking at that has Batman cradled in Superman's arms.
And that was a recent thing. That was like Final Crisis.
Yeah, that was Final Crisis.
Like
that Batman
Midnighter
was supposed
in the
to...
Apollo. It wasn't like...
Yeah, it was
like
bad.
That was supposed to be Batman being dead. But instead they made him look fine, just cradled in Superman's loving arms.
Yeah, I thought they had wandered into the slash fiction section, but apparently not.
Clark, you and I can never truly be together.
Are we watching World's Finest? Or no, what was it? Not World's Finest. World's Finest is awesome. Public Enemies again? Because
oh, yeah.
That's what that felt like,
that
too.
That was so bad.
They were super best friends.
Yeah. Sequel of that's coming out.
Well, we'll all look forward to that.
More
moment.
Gay antics.
Gantics?
Hurtful.
Yes, well. Double hurtful.
Old joke.
Cookies on dowels.
Anyway, that was the worst part of a very bad issue about how stupid Batman is, apparently.
Yeah, because people really like it when Batman's undignified.
Yeah.
And that's really what makes the character great, huh?
That's your favorite part about that episode of Justice League.
Oh, yeah, when he had to sing to save Wonder Woman, who turned into a pig. I'm just watching Dave, like, pinching the bridge of his nose right now and shaking his head. Like,
you really care about this stuff, right?
He understands that Batman's a badass.
I understand he dresses up and goes and beats people up and has cool toys.
He fights and fights his repulsor rays.
Oh, that's Iron Man. That's a different,
wait,
entirely
what?
Different drunk guy.
Oh, no, he's the one who's... Batman's the one from that came to Earth as a baby?
Yes.
Yes, he came from the Bat Planet.
Right.
That's what the Bat symbol is all about. It reminds him of how the moon of his planet looked.
Right.
See, the moon...
Sure. That hangs together.
The moon is what gave him his powers.
Right, much like a werewolf. Or a warwolf, as some people might say.
Well, you gotta have
they
blue called
hair. Bears now?
Are there?
Really?
Is that a thing? Did you just out yourself as a Twilight fan?
Fuck no.
Well, where is
that
better
is
than Lycan?
That was pretty
given
bad.
My choice, you know.
Well, we had Dracula on the show some time ago, and he wasn't real keen on Lycan either, as I recall. So there's that. It's very difficult right now not to lapse into the proto-character that we haven't quite ironed out yet.
Yes, the inner circle of my hell that I've been going
Blah!
You've said too much!
Abort! Abort!
Don't worry. It will be inflicted upon you soon.
Oh.
We try to give that in very small doses. That's why Nick and Willikins are no more than like 3 minutes long each. And I usually cut out the large amounts of improvising, if you want to call it that we do through the course of the show.
That we do constantly.
By improvising, you just mean singing, right? Because that's what...
There's definitely a lot of that.
Remember back when I said at the beginning there would be no singing on this show? Boy, I really fucked that one up, didn't I?
Instead, there was all singing.
So much singing. I asked Dave to add a song section to the media page on the website, and there's like 20 songs on there. What the fuck? How did I lose control of this? I edit this show.
Oh, speaking of which, I officially bother Jeremy so that he'll finish that
song.
Oh,
finish the Galiza song,
yeah.
Please. Yes. God damn it.
It was teased like weeks ago. He's making you guys look like incompetents.
Well.
We don't need any help from him.
We do a sufficient job.
Bup, bup, bup.
Oh, you don't bup, bup. I bup, bup.
Oh, and I'm making proclamations on Not My Show.
Because apparently you can.
Apparently you're not on the show at all, even though you've talked longer than any of us.
I sure like
wait,
to talk.
Wait, the Queen of France has something to say.
I wish to make an admission.
Yeah.
That I lost a bet to Al today.
Oh, yes, yes. You owe me a Coke, Smithers.
I do. Because I said for 100% for sure, Pat would not show up.
Yeah, Pat's flaked out on us. He was supposed to hang with the group of us that got together at Emerald City.
Mm. He was supposed to come to our wedding.
He was going
to
pop by our wedding reception, which he happened to be in town for. Like, he lives on this end of the street, the state. He's not usually in Seattle, but he was in Seattle that weekend. And we said, hey, dude, people will be there that you know. Chris Page is popping by, and you know Matt, you know me. Why don't you come by? He's like, sure, I'll have a beer. My parents are paying. Great.
I love free beer.
And then I didn't even hear from him.
Nope.
The flakiest person in the world shows up.
Yeah.
But not Mal.
No.
But I do want to officially admit when I am wrong and that I lost the bet.
Well, I mean, I only took the bet because, I mean, I thought that as well, honestly. I took the bet because someone had to bet you. It wasn't really that I thought more than you did. I did, and I will enjoy that delicious Coke. But Mexican, please. I prefer those.
Of course, Mexican.
Now you're going to have to fight for
it. Is there any other kind?
No, there is not. So, yeah, there's that.
Proclamation over.
So, does that make you one of the proclaimers?
Well, I think I might have walked 500 miles today.
That
was a big bookstore.
Yeah.
And we did walk across, we jumped the fence. while she walked around.
Vince was so much taller than I was.
Others of us.
We had a hard time. We were really surprised and pleased as Star Trek fans to find the incredible crowd that had gathered for this Star Trek in the Park thing, which had
been going on
for like all month. This was the last weekend that they were doing it. I mean, it's been going on for a while now. And just the huge throng of people. We got there 10 minutes before. We figured, oh, no problem. But no.
I was pretty sure we'd be the only ones there.
Yeah, we could see it from behind. Like, we didn't have a good view from the front, unfortunately. We could only see, like, the back of Kirk's head and so forth.
Mm-hmm. But, although, to be fair, the way they had it set up, the front, there was a very small area.
Well, yeah, and they presented it as, like, theater in the round. I expected them to play some things to either side, and they really just faced one way.
The smart thing would be to face out where, you know...
Where that guy was doing his woodworking in his garage. Where there was a room. Yeah. But yeah,
my ship, who I love like a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, and there'll be pictures of that if you want to know what it would look like to be behind the.
Oh yeah, to look at the back of fake Spock's head. But where we parked was basically in this neighborhood, because we couldn't find parking in the main park, and we parked and we found a direct line which happened to go. There was a fence there. That's 4 foot fence. We can hop that.
Less, it was like three.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a short fence.
Yeah. We opted. Amanda wasn't too keen on doing that.
Because Amanda's only 3.5 feet tall.
Right, she's three apples high. So
you're only 3 feet tall and there's a 3 foot fence. It's different than when you're 6 feet tall.
No, if I pictured a 6 foot fence, that would be quite, so fine. I'm not going to give you crap for that. You don't have great knees and, you know, it's not a...
I was wearing my clown shoes.
Right. Your glittery clown shoes.
My glittery clown shoes.
Might have dropped your hat.
I might have done.
Yeah, so I mean, you went around, that's fine. No problem. When we came back, though, Dave and I hopped over. Matt hops over, and I turn back as I come over. And Matt's doing, and I gotta admit, I would mock the hell out of him if he looked like an idiot. He looked cool. He looked like if you went to like a really hardcore rock show and stage dove, and they put it in the video because it was so cool. Just right, like Superman, arms flung out, and fell right on his fucking face. So it was awesome and funny, and Matt got hurt. It was the best day. This was like the
happy
best.
Happy birthday, show.
Yeah, exactly.
He was only slightly hurt. He hurt his wrist. It's not serious. He's fine.
No. We came back to the room, and he needed an ice pack.
He pushed the bone back into place.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be fine. No problem.
Soldered it closed. Bored that guy's saw.
Yeah. I'm callous with no regard for human life. That makes me like a doctor.
Damn it, Jim.
Yeah, we had a doctor right there. Yeah. Come on. He didn't want to have his atoms scattered. He wanted to fix people. So
I don't know. I don't know if I would have trusted that doctor. He couldn't project very well.
Well, Nurse Chapel was all right.
Yes, she was.
But she usually
she was no Lieutenant MacGyver.
Well, you know. Lieutenant. Give her the proper...
MacGyver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Anything? That covers pretty much all we've done. We've got one or two other things we're going to stop and do while we're here. But,
well, we did make one stop on the way back to the hotel to pick up
Tea bag. My sack of sweet tea.
We're going to have pictures of this sack.
So naturally there were a couple of Popeyes in the 6-block distance we were driving. And he's seeing these signs advertising sweet tea. And he had to have
it. I love sweet tea. I am a big fan. I think that's one of the great things that the American South has added to the national palate. I think
I've seen him.
I think it's great stuff.
I'm not making fun of your tea at all. I love me some iced tea.
And I drink it at home. I make it by the pitcher. And I was like, well, we're going to be doing a show. I'm thirsty. Let's go get some sweet tea.
Just setting the stage. And we were going to stop at Popeyes. And we were going to get...
Load that chicken, bacon, and biscuit.
We're going to get what we thought was going to be a jug of tea.
Yeah, a gallon, they said. Yeah. So I figured it's,
we park, Al runs in, and the three of us were sitting in the car waiting, pondering whether or not we should just, like, dish him.
Plotting escape.
He comes out with just a giant bag of tea.
It's like they gave me a garbage bag and poured tea in it.
It's like a bag of wine, like the ones that come in the boxes and you take it out of the box and it's like a sack of wine.
You know what it was when we used to work at Wendy's, I would have to change the box that the fountain drinks came in.
What it looks
in
like
a
is a giant...
room.
Yeah.
No, it looks like a giant Capri Sun is what it looks
yes!
like.
Yes!
If you got those packed in your lunch, it's like one of those only can hold a gallon of liquid.
Yeah.
Matt, your pain's funny.
Are you still laughing at that?
He just clapped his hands and hurt himself. I didn't mean to laugh. I don't think it's funny intellectually. But
my best friend, ladies and gentlemen.
Once again, spending the rest of my life with this woman, however long that might be. So yeah, we brought this thing back to the room. We set up to record, which took a little longer than I expected, but no surprise there. And I go to pour myself a drink, and wow, yeah.
Sludge.
Imagine trying, like, taking a garbage bag.
Full of this is something that has no solid form. No. Nothing really to grab onto. No. It's just an amorphous blob.
Imagine the thing that killed Tasha Yar serving you a drink. I'm just trying to ooze it into a glass without spilling it all over. Dave's brought his laptop for the trip, and I brought mine to record with. And so there's computers around. We got our both got our mics, which are nice, decent mics. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to ruin anything good. And I don't want to waste any tea, so I don't want to spill it on Matt. So, yeah. So
he pours it on Matt, he's got to lick it off.
I've heard that excuse so many times this weekend.
He's going to wring it out of his hair, and then that gives it a whole different flavor.
I'm beginning to think this whole lieutenant thing is like the lady protesting too much. Oh yeah, that chick's hot. Who says that she's not?
Can't you stop being a part of the show like you promised you would be an hour ago?
No.
Isn't there a shed you could go wait in?
Yeah, two sheds.
I wish there was, but you're like, no, stay in the room. And it's like they expected me to be quiet.
No, I expected you to take pictures like you volunteered to, and I haven't seen you take picture one since we started. I
expected you to die.
Yes, this is what it looks like when they're casting pod.
I have so many pictures of that already.
But not in this room. Here, in this town.
And I'm wearing a different lantern shirt than I was last time.
There's surprisingly few superhero shirts today, actually.
There were tons of geeks, though. I mean...
I mean in this room. Right
yeah.
One of those Star Trek shirts that I always really wanted.
Yeah. But no, after the gay Justice League fiasco, I never...
Never again. You burned them all.
No. In fact, I...
You know, time... Time is the fire in which we burn.
Time. Very well, then.
I'm going to put glass in my feet.
Yes, you are, aren't you?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is basically all the inside jokes we've had on this road trip.
Jumbo large.
Jumbo large.
And just like the first episode, we're explaining them all to you.
Yep. We haven't mentioned felt in quite some time. Why don't we... Give a plug to Blue Coal and
Blue Coal Felt. For felt that fails like coal.
Oh, I know what we needed to discuss. This is a thing Dave brought up in the pre-show last time, and I didn't manage to make it into the show. What did I say? You were talking about a previous episode that we made entitled The Leathery Penis of Steve Buscemi, which was, as we often do, Matt or I come up with a great turn of phrase that just hits me just right. And Matt said that.
This was Matt, yeah.
And it was like, okay, that's our title, obviously. And sometimes you hear us call it on the show. Sometimes it occurs to me when we're editing, but it jumps out at me. And it's almost always obvious what the title's going to be. Because we do tend to spin strange words and combine them in strange ways. And Dave, actually on the same phone conversation I talked him into coming up here, had a problem with Mr. Buscemi's penis, apparently.
Well, as you said, it does jump out at one, and that really just stuck in my craw.
So you had his penis stuck in your craw.
Steve Buscemi's leathery penis was stuck in my craw. There, it's recorded for all of it, you know, future history.
So now you guys can all have that as a ringtone.
It's a tough situation to get out of because, you know, it's stuck in your craw. He's looking down at you, smiling with those god-awful teeth, and he won't stop talking. And all I wanted to do is take one step back so I get this thing unstuck from my craw, but all I can say is, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow. I've always wondered where anatomically the craw is, and now I'm really not sure I want to know that.
His leathery penis is in the mouth of someone on some other job.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Just standing there talking about his philosophy on tipping.
No, I don't believe in it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why very soon we're going to do a clean show. We're going to do one episode with no swearing, no penises, no anything.
What about serial killer-esque?
You're not going to be in the room.
It's going to be an hour of silence, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, basically. But this is why, because a few people, but most notably Annie, mentioned this. Liz Ladner, our good great friend, the graphic designer, mentioned
official spokesperson for the South.
She is the South.
Yeah, I thought actually. It was more of an embodiment.
And she will rise yeah. again.
She will. She mentioned on Twitter, she was listening to the show at work, and she had iTunes up, and iTunes displays the cover art and the you know the title. And it might have been that one, or it might have been one of our other horrible, horrible titles, because we have many, many horrible
Of course.
Titles. It might have been the Gallagher one, because that's got an image to go mm-hmm. with it. But her boss walked up and saw what she was doing. She didn't get in trouble or anything. It's just embarrassing. And I was like, you know, maybe we should do just one. Just one where people aren't ashamed, embarrassed, and just, you know.
Something we can show our families.
Oh, no. That ship has sailed.
Something I can show my family.
Yeah, something you can show your mom. That would be all right. But my mom's already heard it, and we already had the what's a furry conversation.
That,
and,
that Mac guy sure does curse a lot.
My mother, who bartended in a Navy town for 20 years, thinks Matt swears a lot.
I consider that a compliment.
Yeah, that's high praise.
An accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, we are going to try to do that here in a few weeks.
Watch me fail dramatically.
Well, Dave made an interesting point that there should be consequences. There should be something at stake if we're going to do that.
There's no payoff, because if you guys are just sitting there not swearing, it's not really a thing.
Well, I think it could
just
be funny.
You guys aren't doing.
I can understand that.
But yeah, there should be some payoff,
right?
If somebody slips,
and we're still working on that.
I'll owe you a Coke.
Well, there's Fail Street here. We could get whoever loses to stand by the Fail Street sign and post that for all to see.
Well, yeah, I suppose we could drive all the way back to Portland.
No, we could take the picture now, and we'll release whoever's
the loser. We could circle back to that sign.
I could Photoshop Matt under that sign anytime I wanted. That. That's
in
not.
In fact,
really,
I've been
this
doing
would be
it.
Legit.
No, we need
I did
something
it
much
five
worse
minutes
than
ago.
That. Maybe we'll make them go back on that that podcast with that guy who talked about cartoons. For
Dude. Lash them to a post and make them listen to my puns.
Dude, cruel.
Which one?
I said consequences.
We'll figure something out.
Will be dire. It'll
be the cleanest podcast you've ever heard.
if any of you has an idea, it's not an official contest yet, but if any of you have an idea, let us know. It's going to be happening pretty soon. So
in the near future.
We need to do more contests, though. I have enjoyed that. I have enjoyed, and I do enjoy getting the audience involved and having them do things for us so we don't have to do them.
Yes.
That's been the best part.
There's
no,
so much content. So
no, but
much
really, like,
the
Nick and Willikins thing specifically, the characters, we got probably a dozen of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have just kept that going ourselves. It's good to have more people involved. But what's really cool is you guys are into it.
Yeah.
You guys want to do it. And I think that keeps, you know, keeps the show fresh and keeps it from getting too stale. And so we definitely need to do more things like that that encourage you guys to give us stuff, because you've been a great part of the show.
Except for that intern thing. We still don't have an intern.
No, we posted that ad once and nobody even bothered to reply to that. So, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think it was less. Yeah, there was a lot less, hey, I'll email in and send them my resume. There was a lot more reaching for the phone thinking, should I call somebody about this?
Is this an Amber Alert situation? Or
feels like a threat somehow.
Well, like we've said before, if you don't feel ashamed, we're not doing our job.
It's like a windowless white van pulls up. It's just got this SV logo on the side of it.
Yeah, the Sarcastic Voyage Mobile.
We're owl exterminators.
Parents grabbing their children and putting them indoors quickly.
Man, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that parents just do not understand. All right. With that, that's pretty much all we got.
That was beautiful, man.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for a good year. I'm sure we'll have another ahead of us.
We'll have another year ahead of us.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm committing to.
Well, most of you will.
This is my official cry for help. Look at the grocery lists.
Call the police.
This is Ron Algar Watt signing off for the last
Forever.
Time.
Ever.
Oh, what harm could I possibly be?
The crew of the Nostromo.
Let's plug your handwriting into one of those handwriting recognition softwares and see about that.
Warning, danger.
It automatically forwards to the FBI.
The FBI. But really, thank you, and thank you guys, and that's pretty much all we got, unless you guys got something else.
Fly away, little starling.
I can sing.
I don't think that you could. All right, do it. Do it.
Happy birthday.
Okay, that's enough. Are we going to pay rights?
Yeah, that song is quite expensive.
What day is today?
Today is a birthday.
I guess You'd say, what can make me feel this way? It's Sarcastic Voyage.
Sarcastic Voyage.
Are you ready to rock?
No, check back later, and I'm certainly not ready for some football. All right, thanks again, and we're going to stop talking now.
And now, the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
Last time, you'll remember, something utterly horrible happened.
Adam, I think I'm about to give you a dollar good, Roger.
And then that stopped, thank God. And Nick and Willikins left for the colonies.
We're all Willikins. Here we are in the far-off colonies of America.
Actually, sir, I believe you'll find we're at the bus stop.
Oh. Well, Willikins, here we are at the bus stop.
Yes, sir, and a very nice one it is, too. I believe I'm sitting in what I can only pray is gum.
Well, that should teach you not to sit, shouldn't it? You must always be on guard in case I am in need of something.
And are you, sir?
No, but I suspect I shall be in a minute, and you must be prepared.
I shall stand ever prepared.
Willikins?
Sir?
Why are we at the bus stop? I was led to believe that I would at least have one car, or an horse-drawn coach, or a lorry.
Your good great-aunt was very adamant about you acting as the common people do.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, bugger that for a game of soldiers. Willikins, walk back home and get my most expensive car.
The Rolls-Royce, sir.
Anything more expensive?
Ah, very good, sir. The jewel-encrusted Rolls-Royce.
Well, I suppose it shall do.
Very well, sir. I shall return in about half an hour.
Oi, Willikins!
Sir?
Where are you going?
To go and get the car, sir, like you just told me to.
Oh, no, you aren't. What am I to do to entertain myself?
I can think of any number of suggestions involving various parts of your anatomy and the insertions of one into another, but I doubt that's what you have in mind, sir.
I want you to go fetch the car, but I want you to call me on the mobile telly while you do it.
Very good, sir.
And I want you to sing to me.
And what shall I sing, sir?
I don't know. Surprise me. Must I think of everything, Willikins?
Perish the thought. Very well, sir. I shall call you presently.
Hello?
One night in Bangkok and the world's your oyster. The bars are temples, but the pearls ain't free. You'll find a god in every golden cloister. And if you're lucky, then the god's a she. I can feel an angel sliding up to me.
How long will Nick have to wait at the bus stop? Will Willikins find the car? Will years of intense therapy and medication allow me to forget the events of the last episode? Find out next week on The Adventures of Nick and Willikins. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010.
This is one of our delightful stingers that comes at the very end of the show. Pat, our good friend, Pat McDonald, Poodle Douche, recommended this restaurant to us here in the heart of Portland. La Montage, is that what it's called?
Le Bistro Montage.
Ah, right. And there's some stuff on the website here that you guys really need to hear. Dave, can you give us your best announcer voice on some of this ad copy? This is just too good not to share.
Okay. Well, on the homepage of Le Bistro Montage, gotta add the extra douche. Welcome to Le Bistro Montage, located in the heart of the Central East Side Industrial District in what was once the Royal Hotel, is now the home of Le Bistro Montage, one of Portland's restaurants.
Very well. Don't forget to tell them about the lounge. What's the lounge called?
Oh. La Merde.
All right. So I guess we've picked dinner then. Night, all.